Blog and happy Friday. Happy Friday to everyone. And welcome all of you that are tuning in from CosmicDimensions.com. Hello, Richard, and all of you that are listening via other podcast stations and that will be listening to the archives and via iTunes. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and those of you that may not know it, maybe you're just clicking in or surfing in or tuning in, and you heard a little bit of music and a voice, and you thought, what is that? Well, it's Awakenings. It's Awakenings radio program that's a live internet talk show program that is tracking the individual and collective changes that we're all going through. Have been going through, and we're tracking the acceleration and the activation that's happening for many. Awakenings is also a place where you'll find conscious beings of all walks of life that are awake or awakening and taking this awakened state into their everyday lives and sharing what they've learned, what they've understood by their own awakening. And one of the things with the awakening that fits in with the converging flow, which is from that harmonic convergence, we have harmonized to a level of awareness that there is a converging that's taking place where people are coming from all walks of life, all sectors of life, that all areas, all arenas to consciously co-create in this evolutionary process that we're in. And what I find amazing, fascinating, heart-tickling, if you will, is that it's people from everywhere. You know, it's not, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, it's going to be people that are more spiritually inclined or more, you know, religious or more aware, or the philosophers. No, part of the converging flow, if you think about it, it's a visual of it. It's people from all walks of life that, because we're not what we do for a living. We're not our role. We're not our title. Sylvia in the chat saying, yes, I've got crystals in the back. Do you hear it? Just a little vibrational attunement and alignment for all of you. And by the way, welcome to everyone also that's in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. And I see a lot of people that I know in there, Michael and Sylvia and Light. We've got some guests, Tammy. Let's see, I said Sylvia and some other people that I can't quite see that we're streaming through here. So welcome you all. And that's one of the things, you know, part of the converging flow will be showing us or teaching us as a collective that it's we're not what we do, the role or the title we have or the job that we have, or the interests that we have do not necessarily make up our consciousness, because we are consciousness made manifest. So as we move into that awareness, we recognize that it doesn't matter, a plumber, a teacher, a basketball coach, a basketball player, a football player, a writer, a secretary, a waitress, a barista person, that makes coffee, whatever, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. It's really about the consciousness. Is there a right relationship in what you're doing, relationship to yourself, your higher self? And are you connecting in to right livelihood? In other words, are you living in a way that is right for you? It's not just career, job stuff. It's are you living a life that is attuned to your soul? And this is, I find very interesting as things are unfolding, that you can look and see that things don't quite fit for people anymore are really falling away, or being pulled away. Part of this shifting that's happening, and again, if we go astrologically, that connects in with that Leo Aquarius access, is to fine-tune or refine individuated expressions or individual expressions that are celebrating the more expanded consciousness of the soul, so that we're following the soul's template. So if you think about it, the soul is the map, and the spirit, the animating energy, the pranic energy, is our life force. It's what scoots us along in life. You know, you've even heard people say, oh, they have so much spirit, you know, or that spirit just drove me, or, you know, it's the energy. So part of the unfolding that's happening, or the breaking down or dissolving of structures within ourselves as belief systems, or, you know, within institutions and such, is that there's a cleansing that's taking place. You can see that, you know, that this cleansing is happening in the outer forms. And how is that happening? Economically, for one. That's the one I think that gets everybody kind of waking up and going, woo. I mean, I've even had people that I've been working with or clients and such say, well, if everything is going to hell in a handbasket or there's no security, you know what, I might as well think about what do I really want to do with my life. Now imagine that. It takes that kind of extremity to get to people, many people, to say that. And we all kind of do that, don't we? All kind of do, some more than others, but we do it in little ways where we start getting the nudge. We start getting that spiritual nudge, that divine discontent that, hey, life's a little boring right now. Let's kind of, you know, shift it. You know, your soul's like, I want something else to come through. There's more expression here. There's more expansion. Or you get a little nudge, oh, I think I want to learn how to do this, or I want to try this. And then those societal pressures come in. No, that's going to be too much money. Oh, no, you're too old for that. Or, oh, no, you don't want to change direction right now. Or, no, you shouldn't do that. Or, why would you want to do that? Or you didn't go to school for that. Why do you want to do that now? Or why do you want to live there? Why do you want to do that? That's what this whole restructuring of our energy and energetic patterns, the way we think, that's what's being, a big part of what's being dismantled, is the freeing up so that you can move into, you know, so the ego personality individually, but as a collective, is trusting that intuitive wisdom, that inner guidance, so that you're getting that higher directive and following that and saying, yeah, I'm feeling this, or I'm getting, you know, and I'm not talking about feeling emotional like, you know, oh my God, I want to do this. You know, I'm not talking about this wild abandon, you know, but I'm talking about that intuitive knowing, or that, you know what I'm talking about, everybody, that little nudge that you get, that little voice that says, try this or go in this direction, and your rational mind says, why? Why do I want to do that? Or why, you know, or someone asks you that, why do I want to do that? So part of what's happening in the shift is listening more to that part of you and living from that space as opposed to the conditioned responses that have occurred. And so in a way, it's a sense of a freeing up. You know, and I'd love to hear if anybody else is actually going through that as well, or seeing that in your life, or seeing that with other people. You know, you might already be living this way, and it may be just that people around you are starting to change, you know, and perhaps are wondering, you know, is this right? You know, why am I changing like this? So that's another thing, as light workers, you may already be in the change or living the change, and you may find yourself attracting people that are starting to go through that and are a little worried or a little concerned. So you may be holding the space just by you being you and being there to reflect that. You may be holding the space for somebody else that's moving into that and, you know, is a little bit fearful or frightened. And Sinla's saying you need to be starting something. Yeah, hunch. Yeah, see? So Sinla, what's your hunch? Sinla in the chat is talking about those hunches. You know, and it's amazing how many people don't follow them because we are trained not to. It's very natural to follow them. It's very unnatural not to. And we've actually been, for the most part, most people, I remember, you know, a lot of things that I get in my path of unfolding, people all the time saying, you know, why would you want to do that? Or why are you getting out of that and going in this? Or you're making so much money doing A, why would you want to do B now? That doesn't seem right. But I always knew that I was being directed, guided, and that there was an unfolding taking place, and that something was being co-created within my path, that I knew it all fit in. I had that intuitive awareness and that certainty. But for some, they may not have that, so that's why we hold the space here. Now, one thing similar is saying a new project, don't know what to do yet. Yeah. Yeah, it does seem to start like that. Sendler's saying that in the chat room, that sometimes, and you know, sometimes we don't know what we want to do, because it's, I find when we don't necessarily know exactly what we want to do, that it's coming from such a deeper place or more expanded consciousness that the ego personality hasn't envisioned it yet or pictured it. By the time we're, and this is a key, by the time you're doing visioning work or visualization work, you're accessing from the sixth chakra, you're within the mental emotional body. So you're already coming from the ego personality. When we're visioning something, we're actually coming from that place of, which is not bad, it's just that before you get to the visioning part of something or the visualizing part of something, you are going to be in a state of not exactly knowing what am I doing or where am I going or what's coming through me new, or like Sinless saying in the chat, you know, I know something new is coming in, a new project, but don't quite know what it is. You won't know what it is for a while because you're letting your intuition guide you. And that is part of, like I said, the big shift or the dismantling that's occurring right now individually as well as collectively, especially in the structures of our planet, our planetary global structures and institutions that we have are being dismantled. And so the preparation, it's not so much everything's happening at 2012 right then and there. It's already occurring. It's already happening. We're in that global, universal, individual transition. We're in the shift. The shift is occurring as we speak. Our guest today on Awakenings is Jack Ellis, and I want to tell you a little bit about him. He wrote an amazing book, a novel, but it's based on fact. It's called Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages, fiction based on fact. And his book has been a wonderful little blurb on his book, is an epic novel that takes the reader on a journey within. And I think that's a lot about also what's happening in the shift of 2012, is that it is about going within. Jack is also a teacher of personal growth and awareness from Little Okeechee, I'll have to see if that's how it is, Lake Wisconsin. He also works with people in person and by telephone and over the internet. He also conducts seminars and workshops. He teaches in the realm of manifestation, health, happiness, and by connecting into the magic in your life. Let's see. Also, I want to let you know, so those people in the chat can know, for further information, you can visit Jack's website at Harmony Mind Body Spirit or infinitiesflower.com. So with that, I'd like to welcome Jack Ellis to the program. Hello, Jack.
Hello. How are you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are. It's great. We have a better connection. Thanks for calling in also, by the way, because sometimes the connection is a little bit better.
Okay.
A little louder, I'm finding. So.
Well, Michelle, yeah, you're doing a lot of my work for me already here, because when I called in, the first thing I heard you say was you were telling your audience how important it is that people are aware of the fact that the shift's already happening. It's happening now. We're in the midst of this thing, and that's one of the very most important things people need to be aware of. There's way too much, you know, focus on, you know, December 21st, 2012, and that's when it's all going to happen, or some kind of data prediction. Mm-hmm. So thank you for doing that for me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I'm glad you're saying that. I mean, you know, I look at the synchronicity always, that the people that come on, we're singing, you know, a tune that blends in, you know, the same song or the similar verse, you know, which is great, so that there's a lot of reinforcement, I think, which is important. Why do you think that is, that there is an over-focus on this actual date and people are not necessarily looking at what's happening right now?
I think there's a lot of different ways I could answer that. One way to answer it is I think people are really why are people so fascinated by reading doomsday-like headlines in the newspaper every day? It's the same kind of thing. You know, unfortunately, so much of the people who do focus on dates and predictions and things, they usually tend to take kind of a doomsday attitude towards it in terms of, oh, just wait until this date, and, well, you won't believe what's going to happen then, and we're all going to be screwed kind of thing. So there tends to be a little bit of a fear component attached to it. And I think, unfortunately, I think people tend to be attracted to that. You know, it's the old being attracted to negative news and being attracted to something that's sensational. And I think people also do it, very importantly, because it provides a very convenient distraction. You know, people would much rather think about something off in the future and something that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with themselves. I think very often, the thing that people resist or fear the most is having to work on themselves. Mm-hmm. And my whole message is, this is all about us as a group, both individually and as a group. This whole thing is about us getting to work on ourselves. This isn't about something that's going to happen, you know, external to us. I mean, yes, there are going to be things external to us, but the most important feature of this is us doing the work that's necessary for us to do on ourselves so that we can be a part of this whole ascension process that we hear so much about, which is what, you know, creating the new world of light and spirit is all about. It's all about ascending vibrationally. And of course, I can talk more about what all that means if you like, but there's just a little
bit of it. Oh, absolutely. Oh, definitely. But I also love it. You know, what I find interesting, Jack, is that it's like instead of most people thinking that things would get a little more, let's say, woo-woo, you know, for lack of a better term, as we're in this shift and 2012 is approaching. But what I find is things are getting just more concrete and, in a sense, come on, down to business. And that's what you're saying, working on yourself. It's kind of, it's like the time for, you know, I'm going to go to the mountain, levitate, and everything's going to be perfect. You know, I don't have to do any work on myself, right? It's really seems to be the opposite. It's like there's, and you hear it over and over from, I think, those that are really in alignment and doing the deeper or more advanced work are saying exactly what you're saying.
Where I'm getting my information from, too, is very importantly, a lot of the information that I'm disseminating here comes from what I refer to as the prophecies. And by the prophecies, I'm referring to the prophecies from ancient indigenous cultures spanning the globe. The Mayans were only one. There were a bunch of others from all around the planet. The Hopis, the Egyptians, virtually every Native American tribe, and tribes in South America, tribes in Africa, et cetera, et cetera. These are folks that have not lost their connection to life's vital energy and to life's natural cycles. And they were very in tune with these things, and they virtually all are telling us the same thing. They're telling us that, yes, the shift is, there's probably something going to happen right around December 21st, 2012, but it's just a small part of it. And they're telling us that these shifts are always gradual in nature, and they also always tell us that the most important thing we can do in relationship to anything like this is to get ourselves together spiritually. And once we get ourselves together spiritually and energetically, we're going to be okay. And but isn't that always the message? In any time?
It has been, but it got drowned out. It got drowned out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I find interesting is that it's now coming, you know, around again, and you know, it's being reiterated over and over. This is what it is. This is, you know, take care of you emotionally, spiritually. Are you spiritually connected? Da 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 da. You know, it's over and over. And I think it's, in a sense, I think people are going to be finally realizing that they can't, and like you said a minute, escape yourself. You can't be distracted. What do you think, by the way, before we dive in a little further, some of the things people can do to not be distracted and to, instead of thinking of this far-off thing that's happening outside them, but to bring their awareness back to them?
Well, I think that's all a function of them getting their own energy right in terms of people distract themselves for a reason, and the reason they distract themselves is because they're out of alignment, they're out of kilter. And I think once we begin to get ourselves out of alignment, out of kilter, it always comes back to us. I mean, everything always comes back to us. And, you know, when people need distractions, you know, for a specific reason, they need distractions because there's something about themselves or something about, you know, their own stuff that causes them discomfort or fear or something else. So once people get themselves together in those regards, there's no need to be distracted anymore. It's kind of like a chicken and the egg kind of thing here. But you know, that part, people are distracted because those distractions serve a purpose, and the purpose, almost invariably, the purpose of any distraction is to distract us from what we need to know about ourselves that makes us uncomfortable. It always comes back to that. And so those people who are attracted to distraction, you know, need to look in the other direction, basically.
Mm-hmm. Which is them.
Absolutely.
Themselves.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what do you see, and you said the prophecies and those that you were studying and talking with and working with and doing your research, which, by the way, I know you've done extensive research. What do you come away with what generally all these cultures and people are saying?
Generally, you're saying in relationship to the shift and the prophecies?
Yes, and the prophecies and what's happening now.
Well, let me fill in some of the gaps here, because in saying that the shift is happening now, that's just that's one part of it. Let's just fill in some of the gaps in terms of you know, what the shift is thing number one, and then what people can do is thing number two. It's really important that everybody has a frame of reference about this in terms of understanding what we're dealing with, you know, rather than falling prey to a lot of the doomsday stuff, which is just, you know, the world's coming to an end, ain't it awful? The primary thing that the shift is the shift is a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. It's a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. This is a really important aspect of this whole thing. And it's a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields from low-frequency energy to higher-frequency energy. In other words, and we as human beings, we're in the middle of these shifting energy fields. And so our energy fields are going from low-frequency to high-frequency. This is as a function of the Earth's 26,000-year cycle. There is a point or an area on the Earth's 26,000-year cycle wherein we enter this energy field, and it's most commonly, in most of the literature I've read, it's commonly referred to as the photon belt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Earth enters this energy field as a result of its 26,000-year cycle that it takes as it travels through the universe together with the rest of our solar system. And this is something that all the prophecies have this one aspect of this in common, this 26,000-year cycle aspect and this shifting from lower frequency energy to higher frequency energy aspect. And that's probably as Reader's Digest a definition of the shift as I can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it that's essential, the other blank to fill in here, is that and we've already covered it, but let's just embellish it a little bit. Has to do with the whole date aspect of this, because again, virtually all of the information does not point to something tremendously revolutionary and dramatic happening at midnight on December 21st, 2012. Which, by the way, I don't know if your viewers are aware of this. Probably are. You probably have a pretty smart viewership here, do you not?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, the reason that date is such a big deal is because that's when the Mayan calendar ended. And I believe, Michelle, I believe that even the Mayan elders would agree that it's not all about December 21st, 2012. I believe even the Mayan elders would agree that, you know, perhaps something's going to happen on December 21st, 2012. But as far as this whole shift is concerned, the shift is more of a gradual process. And the shift also occurs in a window of time around December 21st, 2012, on both sides of this date. Mm-hmm. So it's a window of time as opposed to a point. And I'm very strongly of the opinion that we really don't have any idea how big this window is.
Yeah.
There are some theories. There's an astrological friend of mine who is one of the co-founders of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School. She explains to me that there's also an astrological aspect of the shift, in terms of there is a 26,000-year astrological cycle also that's happening here, in which the Earth has a certain alignment with galactic center at this time, which is also characteristic of this 26,000-year cyclical turnover point here. So that's another very important aspect of the shift. But what my shamanic astrologer friend told me was, she said, you know, the Earth maintains this particular alignment within 1 degree for 144 years. And she said there are those who believe that could be how big the window around 2012 actually is. You know, it could be, you know, 72 years on either side of December 21st, 2012. I think that's probably a little big in terms of the actual, you know, photon belt aspect of this. I think we're dealing more with a 5 or 10 year window of time around the date December 21st, 2012. And in general, I think this, you know, there's an awful lot of debate and disagreement about the accuracy of dates and that, you know, the calendars have been misinterpreted and, you know, the Mayan calendar actually ended 20 years ago. There's all kinds of, again, I think very distracting kinds of debates dealing with these things.
Do you think as well people are, because we're trying to use our time frame, you know, and things energetically, or if you will, psychically, tend to be, well, number one, grouped together by event usually, but there's not, like you say, room on either side. There is room on either side for when something is going to happen. The timing element isn't, precise.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to make time precise.
Right.
Try to make it, right.
My own sense of it is, I think this 2012, this December 21st, 2012 date is pretty accurate. If we're looking for a center point, if we're looking for a point around which, you know, our window of time is going to be centered, I think it's pretty accurate in that regard. And I think in terms of real...
You talked about
really,
the center point. And what do you mean by a center point?
Well, the center point of the window. And then it's a question of, you know, how much time are we dealing with on either side? And I think we're dealing with about 5 years on either side. Right now we're 3.5 years out from December 21st, 2012. And I really think we're beginning to enter that period where things are just really going to start popping. And I think they're going to probably continue popping, you know, maybe on the other side of 2012 for 2 or 3 years also. So, but I think the important thing about this is, you know, we're there, it's happening now, so, you know, there's no reason at this point for us to delay or to wait or to postpone anything that, you know, that we as individuals, as individuals do about all this.
Mm-hmm.
May I throw in something else that I think is also another really important aspect of
the shift,
that people need to be aware of? And again, this is something that particularly the indigenous prophecies all really echoed this very, very strongly. In that one of the things that the shift means, there's a lot of different meanings here, but another one of the meanings of the shift is the shift refers to a shifting from an old paradigm or world to a completely new paradigm or world. So the shift is from old paradigm to new paradigm. And the indigenous cultures were very, very in tune with how out of whack the old paradigm was, because by the old paradigm, we're basically referring to Western civilization here. And the fact that Western civilization has kind of been running the show on the planet Earth for the last, you know, several thousand years. And this is our culture, you know, America, Western Europe, and that sort of thing. And the old paradigm, there is absolutely no way, and this is one of the things the prophecies told us, there's no way the old paradigm can survive. It cannot survive because it's not built upon a sustainable foundation. It's not built upon the foundation of higher consciousness and spirituality. It's not built on that foundation. It's built on the foundation, A, of matter and materialism, and even more importantly than that, if that's possible, it's also built upon the foundation of probably the biggest bugaboo about the old paradigm and the thing that makes it so utterly unsustainable. It's built upon the foundation of control, and by that I mean controlling the forces of nature as opposed to harmonizing with them or, you know, being in balance with them. And this attempting to control nature for the purpose of some kind of a material outcome, that's really, what makes it so unsustainable. There's no way this world can stand up, on this foundation as it's currently built. So then when we talk about the old paradigm coming down and from its ashes, we having the opportunity, and this is the other thing people really need to know about the new paradigm, or about this time of shift, is that from the ashes of the old paradigm, we have this marvelous opportunity to create an entirely new world, a new world of light and spirit. And this is a very, very purely energetic and spiritual concept. You really can't even understand this in old paradigm terms. If you look at the shift through your old paradigm, you know, eyeballs, it's just going to seem too far out, too wacky, too you know, out there. But again, this is one of the things that all of the prophecies had in common. We are talking about a dimensional shift here, a shift from a lower, very dense dimension, which is our third dimension old paradigm, to a much higher fifth dimensional energy. And we're dealing with not so much the creation of that world, but the ascension into that world. So this is something that's done energetically, it's done spiritually, and if we try to do this with our old paradigm methods, you know, if we try to do this, you know, by, you know, with our rational mind and by, you know, the linear type thought processes, it ain't going to work. We're just going to hit the wall and not go anywhere and keep repeating a lot of the same problems. So shifting from old paradigm to new paradigm, and this marvelous, marvelous opportunity we have to create an entirely new world. So the other thing about the shift that people really need to hear over and over and over again is that the shift is all about this incredible time of potential transformation that we have right now, energetic transformation, spiritual transformation. That's what it's all about. And again, that's something that all the prophecies agreed upon, almost literally agreed upon.
And within this shift, the paradigm shift, my understanding is, and I want to get your take on this, that we are becoming, instead of so electrical, more magnetic, and therefore more intuitive. We're using that advanced mind or higher mind, moving into, you know, using the intuition, psychic ability, as well as telepathic. What is your thought of those?
Well, I'd be very cautious in your use of the word magnetic, simply because the literal scientific thing that's happening now is that we're not becoming more magnetic, we're becoming less magnetic, and that has to do with the Earth's with the shifting of the Earth's electromagnetic fields. The Earth's electromagnetic fields are actually diminishing in intensity, and they're diminishing in intensity at a very accelerating rate. And the Earth's magnetic
field. The Earth is, yes, but what about our?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yes, the Earth is as a,
But I mean, it amounts to the same thing. I think the better choice of language would be the thing that's potentially making us more intuitive would be this higher frequency energy that we are, enveloped in. And I think another important part of that is the fact that though we are enveloped in this higher frequency energy, and though you talked about giving us the ability to be more intuitive, and you know, it's like energetic portals are opening and interdimensional opportunities and those sorts of things. However, those things are not going to happen automatically to us. Those things are only available. I always use the word potential when we talk about those kinds of things. Those potentials are all there, but it's completely up to us, you know, the human race here down on the planet, to make those things happen. In other words, to blend with those energies, to merge with those energies. And the vast majority of the people are still clinging to the old paradigm energy. And the people who cling to the old paradigm energy are going to have a rough time. There's just no way around that. They simply need to learn to let go of that old paradigm energy and to trust that they have the power to do that. Because the thing with the old paradigm, you know, brainwashes us into believing is that we need the old paradigm to take care of us. We need the old paradigm to protect us, and we need the old paradigm to run our lives because, what, we're all a bunch of stupid idiots, right? We can't do those things for ourselves. Well, that's just a crock. It's just a bunch of hooey. We are so much more powerful than that. Once we connect with our, you know, with our multidimensional spiritual potential, we're so much more powerful than that. We're fully capable of running this planet and running it ourselves and doing a wonderful job of it. You know, we don't need somebody to do it for us because we're so, you know, stupid and incompetent. So, I kind of went off on a tangent there.
Good.
I forgot where we started, but it's a good tangent.
It's perfect. Well, no, it's true. Getting, like you're saying, getting out of that old paradigm that someone else is doing it for us, or we can't do it.
Right.
You know, in a sense, that embodiment, we're reclaiming that. Now, we did have a couple questions in the chat room.
Okay.
One was where does this New World Order fit in? What is your thought of that, and what does that what does that mean to you?
Good question. Good question. Well, that's part of this whole thing. And let me we could do a weekend seminar on the New World Order and this whole thing. I mean, it's a huge question, but let me give my briefest answer to that in terms of where the New World Order fits into this. And I know a lot of New Agers don't like to hear this, but this is such an important part of this whole puzzle. And if we don't talk about it, the picture we're talking about is not going to make sense. We're going to get to the end of the discussion, and the world we're talking about isn't going to make sense. And for that reason, as you know, Michelle, in a divinely ordered universe, everything always makes perfect sense.
Yes,
you
and
know
for
that,
the greater
and
good. Yeah.
Well, yes, and if we can't make sense out of it, then it's just incumbent for us to know that we just don't have the answer yet. The answer is that it doesn't. The answer isn't. It doesn't make sense, because it does. We just don't know what the answer yet. But one of the things that everybody needs to be aware of here, and I'm not being negative here, I'm just stating a fact. One of the things people need to be aware of here is that we do have an adversary here. We've got a very, very powerful adversary here and a very, very dark adversary here. We have a dark adversary here that's been running the show on planet Earth from behind the scenes for thousands and thousands of years. They've been engaged in an ongoing agenda in which they are very tricky in ways in which they attempt to trick us, the human beings of the planet Earth, into giving up our freedom and giving up our spirit and becoming slaves to their rather totalitarian type system that they've set up. And that's basically what the New World Order is. The New World Order basically is a one world government that's run from the top of the pyramid by these dark shadowy figures from behind the scenes. And we're moving very, very rapidly in that direction, as most people can see in our world today. And they're aware of this too. Let's just call them the global elite, for lack of a better word.
The cobble.
The global elite are the hidden powers that own and control the world from behind the scenes. And the world that they create for us is all basically just a hoax. It's an illusion. It's the Matrix. Mm-hmm. But it's important for people to be aware of this piece. Because only in being aware of it are we capable of disentangling ourselves from it. Because this adversary I'm speaking of, this dark adversary, they're very tricky and they're very smart, and they play this game very, very well. And if we don't know how the game's played, and if we're not aware of this piece of it, we all run the risk of getting sucked into it. I know I was sucked into it for about the first 25 years of my life before I started waking up. I didn't get it, and so they also know. The global elite is also very, very aware of the shift of the Mayan calendar of 2012. They're aware of everything I'm talking about here. They know these things. They may know them a little bit, perhaps in not as enlightened a way, but they're aware of the things, that very big things are happening right now as far as Earth changes and as far as the potential for paradigm shifts and those sorts of things. So they're speeding up their agenda also. Their New World Order agenda is really in high gear right now. They are moving like a freight train in that direction. I think their time frame is very much 2012-oriented, and I believe that they think that they need to get their New World Order agenda in place before any real massive shifting happens. Because once the massive shifting happens, they're going to lose a lot of their control. There's going to be a lot of forces out there that they're not going to be as in control of as they'd like to be. So they want to get this thing in place so that when things really start happening, it will be in place and they won't have to deal with a lot of imponderables as far as a lot of the other things. So that's another piece of this whole thing, and it's up to us, because kind of like the old paradigm, it's important for us to be aware of this part of it. But this is another part of this whole topic, that people get very, very stuck in this whole New World Order thing. They're on the internet all day long, and they're coming up with all these dreadful scenarios, and what they're going to do to us, and blah blah blah. And then pretty soon, everyone is just enmeshed in all this doomsday-like negativity, kind of a we're screwed attitude. Well, that's definitely not my message. My message is we simply need to be aware of how this game is played. Once we know how the game is played, we really don't need to pay that much attention to it anymore. We can just simply disengage from it and focus on what really matters. And what really matters is getting our energy right, getting our spirituality right. It always comes back to that. And It's interesting because, you know, if we attempt to play this game, if we attempt to create the new world of light and spirit by using the methods, if you will, of the new world order, using the methods of the old paradigm, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in that arena. We are going to connect the new world. There's only one way to create the new world of light, the new world of light and spirit, and that's in the arena of higher consciousness and spirituality, completely separate from all this, you know, old paradigm garbage. A lot of people, when I hear people talk about how, you know, the shift is going to come about through, you know, the mainstream political system, I have to laugh. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. That you know, you're missing the boat, gang. That is not the you know, the density level that we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a whole another density level, a whole another energy level when it comes to this power that we have.
Well, that's interesting that you say that power, and I think people need to connect in, because a lot of the words that are used by the Kabbalah, structures that created, the people that created the structures, the Freemasons and such, we have that esoteric knowledge, that wisdom. We have that power, empowerment. And that what can happen is a lot of misinterpretation of the words and misinterpreting them to create fear. Because there is, you know, it's like the oneness movement or creating this new world order has a, if you want to, for lack of a better word, more positive or a little more conscious aspect to it. But it also does have the shadowy, the flip side, which you're talking about, the old paradigm, using the new language of the new consciousness for power over, you know, and enslaving others.
Right. But they like it when confused. They like it when we're confused, and they like it when we're afraid, because that makes us very manipulatable.
There's a lot of confusing
messages out there today, Michelle, and this is where our job becomes a little bit more challenging, because it's up to us to discern between the phony messages and the real messages. And there's even a lot of phony messengers, you know, in the New Age movement. There's a lot of people.
You bet you a lot.
There's even, I even think there's a lot of them are just working the other side, and a lot of it's just part of the, you know, part of the New World Order, you know, garbage.
What would you say? I think you were going to say probably discernment, but and that's where people need to step into. Because I've seen some things lately when you start, because I'm a big researcher, when you start digging around, that certain people that are saying that they are, you know, more of expanded consciousness and helping, then when you kind of do your research, you find out that they're trying to create this kind of cult or something, you know, and take power over people that way, you know. And so it's like you really have to have that spiritual discernment. Otherwise, you can get sucked into something that is of the old paradigm, and like you said, then you're really up against the wall. But to that point, what would you suggest to people? Because there is so much misinformation out there.
Suggest to people in terms of getting this whole discernment thing right?
Yeah.
Believing everything that I say. I'm kidding. That's a joke.
Me too. That's all. Yeah, that's...
You know, I'm not sure what the answer to that is. Probably the first corny answer to it is... I can give you a bunch of different answers to one, because this is a difficult thing, Michelle. You know, in terms of how we are dealing with some very tricky messages here, and we're dealing with, you know, some people who are, you know, the culture presents as, you know, these are the people who have the answers, and when in fact, you know, it really isn't the answer, but it's you know, kind of, you know, taking us down the wrong way down the street. I think the first thing people need to do is they need to trust. First and foremost, people need to trust their guts. People need to trust their heart. They need to trust their insight. They need to trust their spirit. And whenever we're, you know, trying to get our final answers about anything, I know my final answers always come from my gut and always come from my spirit. That's the primary source of what I trust. Anytime, and here we'll get some juicy stuff here about when they can rule out whether or not some master or some guru is actually, you know, the real deal or a phony. Here's a couple of things that people can do. I tend to think that people are off track if they tend to make something too complicated. All of these spiritual messages are ultimately very, very simple. So simple that a child will understand it without even batting an eye. And most essential spiritual truths are that way. If you go to a workshop or if you're going to a spiritual teacher and it's all really complicated and it's dealing with all this, I don't know, all this, I don't want to start saying some of the things you're doing out there, but just all this stuff that's just so complicated, I would tend to take that with a grain of salt. I also think if you're ever getting a message that you just feel is a fear-based message, you know, if there's something about your emotional antenna that's going up and going, no, this is just making me uncomfortable, that this is making me afraid, I think that's another good thing to good litmus test as far as, you know, whether you're dealing with the with somebody who's viable or somebody who isn't. But the answer to your question, the long answer to your question is this is a tough one. And what people just simply need to do is they just really need to make a commitment to getting the answers for themselves. And I think it's really important that people always keep their minds open. You know, whenever anybody gets to the point where they say, okay, now I've got the answer, you know, because so-and-so provided it for me and I don't even need to look anymore because I've got the answer. Well, that's usually misleading because whenever we think, there's never, you know, just a one answer. Very, very rarely is that ever the case. That's another one of those things that people tend to be very attracted to. They tend to be very attracted to teachers who come forward and say, I have the answer.
They want the formula, and that's so old paradigm.
That's
one key that I know for myself is when I'm hearing the formula or the pat answer or the one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's not the light age or Aquarian age because it's about the individuated consciousness, you know.
Let me give one other answer to your question because it's a very intriguing question. Anytime anybody is, checking into one of these spiritual teachers or whatever, a good question to ask them always is, what's your opinion, sir or Ms. or whoever, what's your opinion about why the situation on the planet Earth is so messed up? Because very often when people endeavor to answer that question, you can begin to start to see through them. And anytime any spiritual teacher gives you the answer, the world really isn't messed up. It's just how we see it. Because that's what a lot of the New Agers are saying.
Yeah.
When I start talking about, you know, the dark side, they say, this is just a product of our imagination. Or it's a projection of our own dark side, you know, upon the world. Baloney. This exists independently of us. And one of the reasons that world is so messed up is because that's the world that they've created, you know, by design. It's not our fault. And very often, again, a lot of the New Agers come forward with, the world is so messed up because, you know, humanity has just kind of lost its way, but this is all part of our natural evolution. Baloney. It isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the divine spirit does not create organic beings who are incapable of managing their own existence. It just doesn't happen. That's not the way it works. When you look at what's going on the planet Earth right now, you'd say, boy, the human race really appears as though they're incapable of managing their own existence. They just appear stupid. Well, that's not the way it is. I mean, that's not really the way that it is, but that certainly is the way that the situation, you know, has been manipulated, and that's the way that, you know, the natural flow of things has been interrupted here. It's been tinkered with.
Yeah, and now you said something so important I want to go back to, and I just put it in the chat for everyone, projection, perception. There's been such a misnomer and misinformation that, like what you're saying, everything's projection. Oh, it must be because I'm seeing it this way, or it's something in me.
Or thinking creates reality. That's a real tricky one. It's not,
it's not as simple as
people think it is.
No, and it's not exactly. I mean, people say, they create that illness. Not necessarily. You know, it's like there is... But the idea that we can move into that space of perceiving, not everything is projected, not everything is an inner state projected out. Otherwise, we would all be egocentric. So
things exist
outside of us, right?
I was just going to say that. Things do exist outside of us out there in the world. Not everything in the universe is a function of our, you know, of our perception. You know, things do exist separate from us. And once we acknowledge that things do exist separately from us, we can begin to start looking at things completely differently. And there are also, from a spiritual point of view, there are very, very powerful, powerful spirit forces that exist separate from us. And it's a question of us in terms of our relationship with those spirit forces. It's a question of us, being aware of that and being able to merge with those spirit forces, blend with those spirit forces, acquiesce to those spirit forces. And in that way, we blend with them, we merge with them. So it's not all us, but it's a relationship that we have to something that is outside of us. And, 50% of it is us as far as how we perceive it and how we move towards it, how we move our spiritual energy in that direction. But then there's also a give and take in terms of there is a relationship in terms of stuff that comes back at us, based upon, what we're putting out there. So it's a lot more complicated than just, we create everything with our thoughts.
Yeah. It's so important. It's so important to move into it. I think a lot of people don't like that because it connotates a seeming lack of control, So obviously if I'm creating everything, then I'm going to control everything,
Yeah, that whole thinking creates reality thing is so nice and cute and simple and neat and clean, but unfortunately that's just not the way it works.
Yeah, life is not, it's not in a package.
Hey, Michelle, can I say...
Hello?
Okay, I got one off there for a minute. Am I still there?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you are.
I just got a scary message.
Was it about your Nixon cue or something like that?
It said you were now off the host key.
Yeah, it does that, something with the switchboard, but
okay.
I have two more questions from the chat, and then do you want to go, do you have something
I have
you
wanna... one other really, really important thing that I need to say about, what people, how we raise our vibration and how people can actually do what I'm talking about here, because that's something that people really need to be clear on that, otherwise it just sounds too vague, but so let's save some room for that.
Okay.
Or shall I do
can
it
I,
now?
why don't we do it now?
Okay. Well, again, this is one of these things, Michelle, that is very, very simple. And the issue is how, everyone's heard what I've said so far, how do we raise our frequency? How do we get our energy right? How do we optimize ourselves? How do we reach our spiritual peak, our spiritual potential? The answer to this, again, is exceedingly simple. Don't let any guru, don't let any master tell you it isn't. And it always comes back to the same things, and you can find this, I guarantee. I know the word guarantee is is something you probably shouldn't use that often. I guarantee in any viable spiritual tradition, anywhere on the planet from any time in history, they are always going to come back to this one thing, and it always comes back to this. We raise our frequency. We reach our spiritual peak, and we have the power to create the new world of light and spirit as a function of how we experience our lives. And specifically, we do this, we raise our frequency, and we do all this by experiencing life, by learning how to experience life with certain feelings. And specifically, the feelings we're talking about here are, we maximize our spiritual potential and raise our frequency by experiencing life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, and love. That's what it's all about. It always comes back to that, and then it simply is a question of people picking whatever way that they want to endeavor to learn how to do that, to experience life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, and love, and to experience our lives as many of the moments of our life as possible. And if we can get to the point where we experience the totality of our life with those feelings, just imagine if we get to the point where we can experience the totality of our life, every moment of every day, with optimal peacefulness, joy, and love, just visualize for a minute how powerful that becomes. It's just incredible. And when you think about lots of us doing it together, which is one of the things people often feel when they're in, drumming circles or chanting circles or something like that, they feel this group vibrational, peaceful, joyful energy just kind of spiraling out, up into the vortexes. And it's very, very powerful. That's the kind of power it's going to take. It's an energetic thing. That's the kind of power it's going to take for us to create the new world of light and spirit. And it always comes back to the same thing. Then we can get into a question of, what are the various different ways of learning how to do that and how do we do it and that sort of thing. And that's a whole other topic. But again, anytime anybody is looking for a spiritual teacher, you always want a spiritual teacher that's going to, for whom the goal is, I'm going to teach you how to relax, and I'm going to teach you how to experience your life joyfully. And anytime any spiritual teacher, you interview your spiritual teacher, and that's what they tell you they're going to do, hire them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, also because what you're saying is something that's within each person. And what I'm hearing you say also is about each person has to find what it is exactly for them, the activity. You could call it meditation in all its different forms,
right.
Connecting into that, you know, as Michael in the chat's putting that eternal ecstasy, the eternal part of us.
Right.
And I like that you're saying that it's individual. It's going to be something perhaps different. It's going to have those components that you spoke of, but it's perhaps the activity is different.
Right. We can all get to the same place, but we get there in different ways. Unfortunately, we're living in an era right now where there are so many, as far as specific methods for doing this. We are living in an era right now where there is an awful lot of wonderful stuff out there as far as methods for us to enhance our spirituality. There are so many teachers, and so, I mean good ones. You know, and there's so many different methods, all this new sound healing and energy healing and all this Reiki, and there's just so much great stuff, and all the Asian influences, you know, the Tai Chi, and just all of that stuff. There's so much good stuff out there.
Shamanism. I love it all.
Right.
I'm like, why limit? Do it all.
Right.
You know,
and I say, like, you know, when people are looking for a method, you know, I think first of all, shop around a little bit, and just don't jump at the first one that, you know, that comes out at you. But, you know, look at a bunch of them, and again, trust your gut. Trust what really resonates with you in terms of, you know, that really resonates. And then jump in and give it a try. And I think the other thing people need to do as far as, you know, their own work upon themselves is they need to understand how important this work is. There's virtually, and this is going to sound like a very blunt, strong statement, but that's how important this is. There is nothing in our lives. This includes our partners. This includes our children. This includes our money. There is nothing in our lives ever that's more important than our spiritual evolution. Ever.
Yeah.
That's always numero uno. And all that other stuff sprinkles down from our spiritual base, you know, our partners, our kids, our money, all of that sprinkles down from that spiritual base. So when people make the decision to get to work on this, know that it's important and know that this takes a 100% commitment. This is serious. This isn't just a hobby. This is serious.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do I sound like a hard ass? I hope not.
Yes, no, because I say the same thing. Especially clients come to me, I say, you know what? That's the old paradigm that all this other stuff was important. There really is that... you know, seek this first, and, you know, everything else comes from that. Plus, I like things that are expeditious or efficient. I find if you're seeking what is, finding what your soul's purpose is or what you're aligned to or what you're to be doing, you're following your spiritual nature, things just tend to get easier. You know, they might get harder in the beginning. There might be challenges when you're, you know, making the changes, but ultimately, you know, it's the best roadmap.
Well, another wonderful thing about this time we're living in is that this is an easier time to do this in, you know, in terms of the shifting energies and everything. You know, back when I'm 60 years old, and back when I was, you know, learning this stuff, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you know, back in those days, you know, the adage was, you know, that you get into therapy and you got to be in therapy for 20 years, you know, before anything happens. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think we can really start speeding up these agendas, and one of the reasons we can speed it up is because of this shifting energy that we're in the midst of. I think if people take advantage of this wonderful time we're living in, all of these things at this time are easier, and they will continue to get easier as long as we're in resonance with it.
Mm-hmm. With
well, I love talking about this stuff. You know,
I just love talking about this stuff. Let me get to the questions we had in the chat. One was from Michael. What is your experience in Peru?
Oh, he must have been on my website.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's, yeah, everybody's already done.
Well, I could give a weekend seminar on my experiences in Peru, but let me just say a couple of things about it. I was in Peru a year and a half ago in November, and I did the hike on the Inca Trail, you know, to Machu Picchu, and we went to a bunch of other sacred sites in the Sacred Valley, you know, before going to Machu Picchu. One of the most wonderful things about being in Peru was being out of America, and by that I mean. I don't know if they've thrown a frequency fence or an energy net, a negative energy net over this country or what, but when I was in Peru...
Something has shifted, hasn't it?
I felt like my channel to the spirit world was just, I mean, the spirit world, when I was in Peru, they were just singing to me all day long. Just all day long, I'm getting, whoa! And it was the channel was open, and the spirit world was there, and they were talking, and they were singing. And it was a wondrous, wondrous thing, a thing to be a part of. Another wonderful thing about Peru was to be in a country for 2 weeks where the people were so wonderfully loving. Oh, the people in Peru are just wonderfully loving people, that nobody's got an agenda. Everyone's got a smile on their face, and it's kind of like they just, you know, don't trouble themselves with all the, you know, here in America, everyone's got a scowl on their face, and they're all tailgating, and they're all in a hurry, and yelling at their kids, and Peru was to the experience of Peru, and then I'm not even talking about the Machu Picchu part as far as some of the spiritual things that happened there, but just being in Peru was just incredible as far as feeling that, channel being open to the spirit realms. And I have a feeling that's probably indicative of Peru. I have a feeling most, you know, countries outside of America are probably not quite that dramatic as far as their spirituality. I think Peru really is a hub as far as that's concerned. But mm-hmm. It was a marvelous, marvelous experience.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it seems wherever there has not been an overemphasis on the material at the end all be all, where they still retain that interconnection or the idea of relating, relationship being important, you know, just relating to people, that more of that spiritual fabric has remained.
Well, and you know, in Peru also, a lot of that is forced upon people because it's a very poor country. So in
mm-hmm.
a very poor
exactly.
country where
yeah.
people aren't spoiled by all this, you know, matter and material stuff, you know, they don't have any matter to cling to. So, you know, the spiritual part is it's more readily there for them. It was also wonderful to see so many. There's still an awful lot of indigenous folks in Peru who are living off the land totally. And you know, here we are, the Western tourists in our bus, you know, riding through the Sacred Valley, and seeing these, you know, women out in the fields, picking the potatoes. Or whatever the vegetable is, I forgot. Is it potatoes? I can't remember. But anyway, picking the food out of their garden in their dresses, and they would get up and they just would look so healthy and vibrant, and they always looked at us and smiled and waved. And it wasn't BS, you know. They weren't coddling to the tourists, but just, you know, living off the land and doing it properly, and it was a wonderful thing.
Mm. Thank you for that. And then another one was the Cabal or the Elite. Do you feel that is the reptilian forces?
I don't know. Obviously, you do. You've got a very knowledgeable audience out there.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think this does go off planet. And, you know, when we look at the true history of the planet Earth, and this is another one of the hoaxes that's been, you know, pulled over our eyes, is our history. You know, the ancient civilizations have been on this planet for thousands and hundreds of thousands of years longer. Advanced ancient civilizations have been on this planet for a long, long time before, you know, something happened to them, or, you know, 13,000 years ago or so. And I think it's also clearly apparent that extraterrestrials arrived on this planet also during those more ancient time frames. So ultimately, and that there was inbreeding between the ETs at that time and the humans who existed on the planet.
Were hybrid
at that time. Yeah, and that the hybrids. Many believe that it was the hybrids who have been running the show from behind the scenes with their advanced technology and their advanced, you know, ET connections. I think that theory is totally viable. Totally viable, and I even think a very good case could be made that the entire Caucasian race is an extraterrestrial hybrid, the entire white race. But whether or not it's reptilian, I think it can take a lot of different forms. I don't know. David Icke is the one who I think was popularized that theory about the reptilians. David makes a very, very wonderful case. I know a lot of people think David's crazy and everything, but he makes a very, very strong case when he traces a lot of this. Because the Illuminati or the Cabal or whatever we want to call them, they do have a very, very rich history of reptilian symbols in their, you know, in their family logos and all kinds of stuff like that.
Serpent.
Not to mention not to mention reptilians and the Bible and everything else. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff to draw upon there. But I think they can take a number of different shapes and forms, and I think the reptilian form is one. I happen to use that form in my book. I write about this, and I happen to use that in my book. But I just used it for the purpose of I needed to write a story, and I didn't want to make it too complicated, so I just picked that one. But there could be any number of possibilities as far as what ET form they might take. Mm-hmm. Do you think I'm blowing people's minds here, Michelle? I love how when we segue so smoothly into these areas that, you know, Michelle, I've been saying the same stuff for a long time now, but 5 years ago or so, I could not talk publicly about this, any of it. People wanted to lynch me. They were not ready. Yeah. They wanted to lynch me. It was heresy. And now, 5 years later, I've written a book. It's out there. It's published. I'm on all these radio shows. I'm traveling around the country. I'm on stage. Yep. And there certainly are a lot of people that still think this is heresy and still think, you know, you shouldn't talk about it and still want to ride me out of town on a rail. But just the fact that I can be on a show like this and we can just segue right into this stuff and I can say it openly without worried about, you know, being called a weirdo or whatever is so wonderful. Gosh, it's wonderful. People really are waking up to life outside the box.
Yeah. Well, this is stuff, you know, that we would talk about behind closed doors or whisper, you know, or even experiences of having visitations or teleportation or, you know, future knowing, past, you know. So, yeah, there's been little groups of us, pockets, that have been sharing this. But I agree with you. But to put it in a book form like you have or to speak openly like this, yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, you get a little trepidation, but, you know, the veil is lifting more and more. It's dissolving, so so is our language. We're not being as censored as much, you know.
And the other thing, too, you notice about people, too, as far as, you know, the mass consciousness is concerned, when I used to talk about this stuff 5 years ago, the mass reaction was one of resistance and horror, and, you know, you can't talk about that. The mass reaction now, they may not agree with it, and they might think it's kooky, but there's much, much more of an openness there, kind of like a, sounds pretty crazy, but, you know, maybe that would help to explain a lot of the kooky things that are happening in our world right now, and it does. So there's much more of an openness there, even with people who don't like what they're hearing.
Right.
Five, ten years ago, people were so much more confident that they could just, you know, hang you in public and get away with it, and people aren't feeling that way anymore.
No, but my contention is in some ways the aliens or extraterrestrials everyone's waiting for, they're going to realize as themselves, you know, as hybrids or other conscious beings or beings, we have other dimensional life or awarenesses, you know, other aspects of self, you know, so, and you see that too when you do transcendent work or trance work. You know, past life regression or other dimensional, you know, regression work, people have these experiences and many of them are even able to be backed up, you know, able to be, you know, proven. So I think we are moving in that space where, because the next step will be living this way, that this is just more known on a mainstream level. For some reason, I just got the visual of Star Wars in the bar where people are sitting from different, you know, but you know, different places, different planetary realms. But though we think it's fantasy or make-believe, right, so much of fantasy or make-believe is based, later on people find out, on some kind of, you know, truth.
May I comment on one other aspect of the shift that I think is really important for people to hear? And it has to do with the whole emotional aspect of this, because it sounds like your audience is quite sophisticated. And so maybe the kind of stuff I'm talking about probably doesn't blow people's circuits quite as much as maybe an audience that was a little bit less sophisticated than yours would. Or maybe some people out there are having their circuits blown as they hear this.
But it's okay. Go for it, Jack.
Well, no, but it's important to talk about the fear aspect of this, because it's such an important aspect of this. And people should not be afraid of their fear when they learn these things, because when people learn these things for the first time, I think the most common first reaction is a combination, A, of anger, like, you know, how can they be so dastardly, you know, to do these horrible things to us for as long as they have? Anger is totally appropriate. And then fear, in terms of, you know, what direction things are going in, and the bigness of the shift, not only the New World Order part of it, but the bigness of these colossal earth changes. I mean, part of the shift is going to deal, we haven't really talked about this here today, but part of the shift has to do with very, very significantly huge earth changes that mm-hmm. could really create some difficulties as far as our old paradigm world, you know, being able to sustain itself as far as our, you know, our technology grids staying up and stuff like that. And people need to hear, as far as fear is concerned, that it's okay for them to react to this stuff with fear. It's normal. It's common. Again, one of the New Age misconceptions is that we should never, ever feel any negative emotion. Mm-hmm. And I have an awful lot of New Age acquaintances who are very much like robots these days, because they're very, mm-hmm. very in denial of anything that could ever be interpreted as negative in terms of how they feel about things. Well, you know, that's like pushing a button and shutting off an aspect of our humanity that's exceedingly important. You know, our negative emotions are there for a reason. They're there to be felt.
Yeah.
They're not psychopathological.
Well, I think it was that whole new thought in the positive, what was it, positive something movement, positive thought. Yeah, I think it just went a little too far, you know.
Well, I think like, a lot of this, too, could just be disinformation, you know, getting information mm-hmm. out there that's just wrong. And I think part of it, too, might be a function of fear. You know, people fear these things, but there's nothing wrong with anger, there's nothing wrong with fear, there's nothing wrong with any of those kinds of negative emotions. Go ahead and feel them. And for people to feel mm-hmm. angry and to feel frightened in relationship to the shift and to the earth changes, I think is normal and it's healthy. But then what people need to be aware of is you feel your feelings and you work through them, and then you disengage from them. You don't indulge in them. For a lot of people, their negative emotions are like a drug, and it's what gives them sustenance. Go ahead and feel what we need to feel, but then disengage from them. And the other message people need to hear is, whenever we are feeling too much of any negative emotion, such as anger or fear, it's always a signal to us that our spirituality is out of whack. Because when we get ourselves completely 100% aligned spiritually, and I know that you know this and a lot of people in your audience do.
Well, we always need to hear it again.
Well, here it is. When we get ourselves 100% aligned spiritually, there is never, ever anything to fear, ever, ever.
Mm.
You know, our energy is immortal. We are immortal. This life on this planet is just a blip on the radar screen anyway. It's not that important. Not to mention the fact that we do have the power. A lot of our fear comes from the fact that we've been stripped of our power because we, you know, buy into a lot of this New World Order garbage. We buy into the
power. That I'd love you to speak more on, because that's my contention to people. Even Illuminati, if you look at it, means the illumined ones. Again, this a lot of our language, esoteric wisdom, metaphysical knowledge, the hermetic wisdom and spirit and knowledge that we had, those that would control would take the language and make it something other and make it something to fear. So
mm-hmm.
if you could definitely speak on that, you know.
Well, I don't think I need to. I think you just said it really nicely. And people just need to be aware of how, you know, that language can be, you know, misused in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And people also need to hang on to what I just said in terms of remember that if your fear is getting to be too much, if your anger is getting to be too much, it's not. If it doesn't feel normal, if it feels like it's something you're kind of, you know, hooked on and can't get yourself disengaged from, that means that your spirituality is out of whack. And once you get your spirituality back in tune or back properly aligned, the fear just melts away. The other thing,
and Jack, would you do that real quick? Would you do that by what you were saying earlier, is do some activities or something that brings you back to that joy, calm, peace? Is
well,
that
sure.
What you're
whatever method, you know, one uses. You know, my favorite method is, and again, we get into some pretty simple stuff here, Michelle. My favorite method, I've been working on these things for what, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my negative tapes still run from time to time. I can still feel that stuff. I don't know if they ever go away completely, but the volume goes way down and they lose all of their power. But whatever I can hear or feel my negative tapes running, I always react to it the same way. The first thing I do is I simply breathe. And by breathing, I return myself to the moment. The other thing I do whenever anything like that happens is I turn my mind off, and I have learned how to turn my mind off. Mm-hmm. Because if my mind's playing tricks on me, if my mind's saying, oh, you know, you got to be afraid of this, you got to be angry, you know, if my mind's playing tricks on me, I just breathe and I say, I'm just going to turn you off for a while because ultimately I really don't need you a whole lot. It's all about my heart and it's all about my spirit, and they never mess with me. You know, our minds mess with us. That's kind of the way that our minds are set up to work in this you know, crazy culture that we live in. But our heart and our spirit, you know, continue to be pure all the time. So, you know, whenever I feel any of that negativity bubbling around in me, I just breathe, and I empty my mind, and within about 5 seconds, you know, I'm feeling like I'm aligned again, and then I endeavor to stay there. And I know that sounds very, very simple, but then again, I've been working on this stuff for a long time, so I think the longer we work at it, the simpler it becomes. But, you know, ultimately, it all is very simple. And ultimately, Michelle, ultimately, it is a choice. I know that sounds just so preposterously oversimplified. Ultimately, it is a choice. We have the choice each and every moment of each and every day whether to live in joy or whether to live in fear. It's just that simple.
But part of what I'm hearing you say, it's simple because you are using, you know, whatever alignment technique you're doing something about it. So you are, you know,
absolutely. It's not simple. If you're not, you know, doing something about it. Absolutely.
Right. Exactly. Which is a great piece. In fact, we're getting so much props in the chat of what you're saying, that it's valuable information. You know, Finn was saying, I got to go buy his book.
Well, how many people, Michelle, have you heard, you know, in terms of, you know, doing your own spiritual work with people, when they finally do get it, so often the first thing they say is, I had no idea it was this simple. Why didn't I just do these things 10 years ago? And it's a good question. Obviously, you weren't ready 10 years ago, and you're ready now.
Yeah.
But you are right. It is that simple.
Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing from you is that, which I think is a great message and piece, you know, of the puzzle for this, because as things are dismantling and dissolving, you have to have something simple, something you can do on your own. I mean, you know, you may be in a place where you can't go, I need to get my toning machine or my radiotics. I need to go. You may not be able. You know, it's going to be you and your
need to go get adjusted.
Yeah, Jess, you better have something that you can do to get back in alignment, as you're saying, or you know, if you're spiritually out of whack, I love it how you put it, and to get back in that attunement or alignment, you better have that knowledge within you.
Well, and that's the other thing people learn, you know, when that light goes off and when people finally get it after working on it for a long time, another thing they get is, A, not only was it really that simple all along, you just, you know, didn't make the choice to go with it. The other thing people learn is that ultimately, yes, it was all within. It's all within each and every one of us all the time, and we can't. We don't necessarily need a teacher, you know, to help us to connect with that and to help us to bring it out. Sometimes teachers certainly do facilitate things, but we do have the capability of getting in there and getting it ourselves. But sometimes a teacher just, you know, makes it easier.
That little cat. I'm thinking, what is it, Kimmel or in the. Kabbalah, the little nudger, the little prod that we need every now. Now, those that are just coming, we have new people in the chat and that are listening. I wanted to let you know we're speaking with Jack Alice, author of Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of Ages. Now, Jack, just in the remaining bit of time, for a couple questions I have. One is first your first awakening, and then how you came to write the book Infinity's Flower.
You know, people ask me about my first awakening a lot, and I really don't have an answer for it. For me, where I'm at now is such a journey and such an adventure, and it's been so many. It's kind of like there's been all kinds of threads in my life, mm-hmm. and where I'm at now is just kind of just kind of connecting all kinds of different threads that all kind of ended up. Ended up in the same place.
Well, that's why the program's awakenings, because a lot of people think you just wake up, but what you said earlier, it's always this gradual spiraling, or as you're saying, threads. There's all these threads, and we're becoming more and more awake, more and more aware, more, you know, it's just the consciousness is just opening more and more, you know,
right,
and expressing more and more.
I did know, as a very small, when people say, how did you get to be spiritual? I think one of the things that I always point to is that I was aware of these things as a very small boy. I remember as a very small boy looking out the window and just going, wow, this is just an amazing place. You know, little children, you know, lying in the grass and looking up at the clouds and you know, imagining faces and things like that. It was all just so, just wondrous. And I always remember that. Kind of like, you know, there was a part of me that was always connected, even though, you know, the world I lived in perhaps didn't reinforce that as well as it could have. But, you know, that was my first experience of it. As far as some of my most, I think it would be helpful for people maybe to hear what some of my most powerful influences have been. Probably one of the most powerful influences on my work is the writings of Carlos Castaneda in the Don Juan books that were popularized in the 70s. And if anybody in your audience, you know, loved those books in the 70s and hasn't read them in 30 years or whatever, go back and read them again. It loses absolutely nothing. But anyway, Don Juan was a Mexican-Indian sorcerer who... And the books are basically about the teachings of his system, his spiritual teaching of sorcery. That's one of my most important influences. David Icke has been a significantly strong, powerful influence, particularly the conspiracy aspect of my work. David Icke has been very, very important. A gentleman by the name of Robert Ghostwolf wrote a book that was extremely important. His book is entitled Last Cry, and his book dealt specifically with the shift. It's called Last Cry, Native American Prophecies and Tales of the End Times. And Ghostwolf's book is probably the best thing I've ever read on this topic. And what he does is he takes information from all the tribes and he ties it all together. It isn't just one, not just one tribe or not just the Mayans or just one particular system. He takes his information from all of the tribes.
And this is whom that you're speaking?
His name is Robert Ghostwolf. And people can find that on my website in the... under the links section. I don't think I know he's in there, but...
And which also, Jack, we're on your website, because you have a couple of them. Which is the best one for people to go to?
The website?
That Infinity's Flower?
Oh,
yeah,
Allis. Infinity's Flower isn't even there anymore. If they go to Infinity's Flower, that will take them to jackallis.com. So jackallis.com.
Okay, so jackallis.com. Okay, great.
And you asked me another question. Oh, and what...
Then we had another little. I'm going to go back to that, but then we had one question because then I want to go to the book and the remaining. But we had one question in the chat. What happens to people that refuse to rise, or ascend, or expand?
Boy, I love the good. That's such a good question. You know, that is a question I don't have the answer to. I've read a lot of different. There's a lot of different theories about what's going to happen to those who you know don't make the choice. You know to move through these portals and create the new world of light and spirit. All I can say to that is that those who make the decision to continue to hold on to the old paradigm energy are going to have a tough time. As far as what that actually means, is I don't know what it means. But they will have a tough time, and they're going to have a tough time by their own choice. You know, they're clinging to negative energy, and you know that's the way it works. It doesn't please me to say that, but
I think that's a good point too, because there's no way to know exactly, because it's predicated on individual and collective consciousness, that tipping point. So some things could be mitigated. Or, you know, it could be less or more in one area or less in one area. But I like how you put it. It's not perhaps going to be comfortable or, you know.
Right. There are those who believe that those who, you know, continue to cling to the old paradigm energies, that, you know, if something horrible down here happens on planet Earth and if they don't make it, that they would somehow reincarnate again in another, you know, planet Earth-like scenario, and that they'll get another chance to get it right. I mean, you know, I've heard that one. And... But you know, that's one area I would rather not plunge into that area too much, because I'd rather focus upon the trying to reach all those people.
trying to get them
to make the right choice, because
holding that space.
The paradigm thing is pretty exciting.
yes. And so the impetus for the book then, how did Infinity's Flower, the tale of 2012 and the great shift of the ages. What drew you to write the book?
As far as theorists are concerned, Greg Braden was the first writer who really brought my attention to the whole 2012 and the shift. He did some work back in the, it was a pretty long time ago for Greg. I think it was back in the turn of the century. He did a audio cassette series. It was called Zero Point, and it was all about all about the shift.
Remember that.
It mostly dealt with the science of it, and which is another great topic. So Greg Braden kind of got me launched, and Drunvalo Melchizedek wrote a wonderful little story entitled The Kogi Story. Have you ever heard of that? Anyway, his story called The Kogi Story was about the Kogi tribe in South America, who is one of these ancient indigenous cultures who have kept their roots to the ancient wisdom. And they actually allegedly visited Drunvalo by light travel and told him that he was one of the white people that they'd picked up upon. They knew that something was terribly wrong with their world, you know, outside of their village. So they light traveled out into the world to see what was wrong, and they saw really quickly that you know, the world was being messed up by some dastardly folks. And they also saw very quickly that that there were a bunch of us white folks around who were really getting it, who were plugged in, and who were getting, you know, getting the message as far as the spiritual message and those sorts of things. And so they made the decision to focus on some of these white folks and to visit them and to give them some guidance in terms of you know, where we need to go and what we need to do. And you read my book. You can probably get the parallel between what happened in Chapter 1, where my characters are visited by a light traveler from the jungles of South America, and who do indeed then give my characters guidance on where they need to go and what they need to do in order to play their part in creating the new world. So Drunvalo's little story was also... When I read Drunvalo's story, I went, aha, that's it! That's Chapter 1. And I have cited him thoroughly in my book, so I'm not stealing anything here. But there's two influences.
We get the pieces to weave together.
Yeah, more threads.
More threads. Exactly. That's why I love it. Yeah, there's threads. Once you realize that, you can relax a little more, that it's not one big poof or one thread. There's so many, you know. You can kind of collect some threads and ponder them. And Jack, just in the remaining minutes, because we're winding down here, well, obviously, you're an author and a teacher. Now, you provide workshops and you work with people. In what capacity would you say that you are willing to work with people individually?
I'm open to working with people over the phone. And
okay.
I'll work with people in any way I'm capable of working with people. If they're far away, I can work with them over the phone. I'd rather not work over the Internet because I think phones are a lot more intimate. But I can also do it over the Internet. And I'll do it in person for people who are close by and willing to take the drive. You know, I was in my previous life, you know, I was a licensed psychotherapist in Southern California for about 15 years. So that was so I used to do that long-term therapy, you know, that took forever. Mm-hmm. And I had clients who came to see me for 5 years and stuff like that. I don't work that way anymore. I kind of skip all that. What I do now when I work with people is I set up an appointment for 2 or 3 hours, and I just basically just give them everything they need in 2 or 3 hours, and just really, really, really kind of blast them with it. And I can pick up pretty quickly, you know, where people's blocks are. And again, you know, these things, working through these issues for people, again, it's so much more, it's so much simpler than we're led to believe, you know, by so many of the experts. And the things that, you know, the obstacles that we create for ourselves often are so much simpler than we tend to make them. It's not impossible, and we can get it, and it's not that hard. And so these things need to be made as simple as possible. My job as a spiritual teacher is to make all these spiritual truths as simple and as practical as possible.
Yeah.
And I think they are.
I like that, the practical, because we don't have time to, you know, turn
anyway,
20 times, jump in the
my
air.
All my contact information is on my website. I don't hide from people. If people can call me, that's fine. I love it when people send me emails because that's one of the ways that I find out what's going on in the world. I don't watch TV or any of that stuff anymore. I don't need to go there anymore. But so most of what I learn, people send me emails and they go, hey, you know, check this or watch this. So that's how I learn what's going on out there. Although there's not a whole lot new going on out there, at least not in the old paradigm. There sure is a lot new going on in the new paradigm.
Yeah.
Of which you are one, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad I could be here. And I'm tickled because I get to meet amazing people and, you know, just create that space with the other listener participants. for this forum, so we can.
I get a really good vibe from you, Michelle. I got a very, very strong vibe from you right off the bat. I said, "There's a keeper. She's good. I'm gonna resonate with her." And I'm not just saying that to be patronizing. I really felt that.
No, I know you wouldn't do that. I could tell. Yeah, and we have a connection. That land of Moo. Atlantis and Moo. All right, Jack, thank you so much for being on the program. And
well, this flew, you know? Wow, this
just
flew by.
It just flew. It feels like 45 minutes. Those of you that would like to get in touch with Jack, you can at jackallis.com, and that's A-L-L-I-S is the last name. And, again, he's the author of Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages.
And I guarantee if you go to my website, you'll have fun. There's lots of fun things there, lots of toys.
Oh, good.
Bells and whistles and videos and all that kind of stuff.
Great. And again, that's jackallis.com. Great. So also, everyone, thank you so much for making Awakening what it is, being part of the converging flow, holding the space. All I have to say, love you all. And then until next time, shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.